So, do you see anything, kind of considering all of this, what do you think that needs to be done moving forward? Just the same kind of what's been going on? What can be done better?
Right.
About all of this? Just any thoughts on that?
The good news is, and I actually did not know this until the recent Peggy Hinkle-Wolf came out with the DRC article, there is not that much fracking going on here in town since the ban. A lot of it was, I think, already on the way out economically, and a lot of it was moving off to other basins as well and off of the Barnett Shale. So I have to believe that a lot of that, those threats directly after the ban, were kind of theater on the behalf of the industry, because it just wasn't sustained after that. And I think we did a massive temperature check on this community. And I hope that anyone who considers coming here and harming our community, harming our air and water, would think twice about the history that has gone on here and the vote that these people took. I mean, you have to consider that you're not wanted here in this community if you're going to cause that level of harm. So I think a lot of it has moved on. But I think that moving forward, what I would hope is that things like this continue to happen, things like the DRC article, people have to keep talking about it, because no matter what's going on the national level, and I know that that's overshadowed a lot of the past couple years to where it feels so hopeless on a larger scale that it's hard to focus on the local things that we can perhaps change. But I would hope that local communities in Texas are sharing information, are sharing their history, are sharing these stories so that they remember their power. And I would like to see people collectively fighting things like the penalizing protest bill and like HB 40. I think that eventually things are changing in Texas. We see that. We see that without gerrymandering, Texas is, if not half and half, pretty close, like down political lines. Things are shifting, and I think that we have to just shift to a more sustainable future. And within that, I think a time is going to arise where it's ripe again for people to talk to each other like we did. That's how we won the ban, was by talking to each other. And I hope that as those conversations develop, that we organize again to fight HB 40 and to take back that local control that has been so, so horribly eroded over the last few years.
You covered a lot of good ground. I feel like you've more or less answered what I would have used as a wrap-up question, which was, you know, what do you think you've learned from all this? If you have any extra thoughts on that, do please share.
Yeah. I mean, it altered my whole life. I had only been married for a year when I became the volunteer coordinator for that campaign, and then it just swallowed my life for the next 3 years, you know? And so I think, like I said, I would, just on a personal level, I think that I would encourage people to absolutely feel the critical nature of these issues, but at the same time, engage in a way that can be sustainable for your own personal life. And recognize that there is a tomorrow that we can give in a way in which we can still live a beautiful life. And it's a hard line to find. It's a hard balance to find in the face of climate change. You know, how do you dance as the world is dying? How do you sing as the world is going? That's a really hard balance to find, but it's essential, because otherwise you will be so burnt out, you'll be so exhausted that you won't have anything to give the next day. So I think finding ways to engage that you are passionate about, finding ways to engage in which you can find your personal flow. You know, we had another project while all this was going on called the Frackettes.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Yeah, and it was so fun. And it was with some of my closest friends in the world. And even though it was, it was activism for sure, we were like a musical parody group. We were doing satires of the oil and gas industry using their own material. We really didn't have to write very much material. They kind of handed it to us. And we were just putting it to like Broadway songs and doing these little musical numbers and doing puppet shows. We had a group called Puppets for the Planet. Super fun writing puppet shows for kids and for the community. And our whole goal with that was something that a friend said to me, which was, you know, when you're doing activism, or I guess a lot of this could apply to a lot of things, but seeking to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. You know, so with our volunteers and these people just giving their lives and their hours, like we wanted to bring a laugh to them and we wanted to bring a sense of lightheartedness to them. But also music is powerful, and dance and movement and visual art, it's so powerful. It's so innately human that it's an easy medium by which to communicate and to connect. You can tell people facts all day, but unless you tell them a story, unless you sing them a song, it is not necessarily going to communicate or be memorable. And so I think that those were ways in which I could as a musician interact and be sustainable, you know? Even though, I mean, of course, it takes a lot of work too, but it's not going to feel like work if you can find a way to give that is from your heart and from a sense of like your own personal interest in art, you know? So that's what I would encourage people to do, like, is to find what they're passionate about and give through that medium. Don't try to become, you know, I don't know. Like, I was horrible at social media and technical issues, you know, and I was put into that role a lot, and I was horrible, and I, you know. So I guess I learned that. I learned if I am going to do good in the world or activism, I have to find a way to do it sustainably for myself.